Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
And a super non-classy weekend for the WWE.
This is just like, I feel really bad for him.
Like, I know I use the dumpster fire metaphor a lot, but this was a dumpster fire weekend for, or beginning of the week for WWE.
Just think about, like, the poor PR guy.
Yeah.
Who's like, as fast as he can put together a response,
mm-hmm.
something else happens, just again and again and again.
Before you can even come up with a response, especially Monday, and then again, we're recording this on Tuesday.
Monday was just like, I just want to get through Raw, you guys.
Right. Is there anything we should touch on for Raw before we jump into the dumpster fire?
I mean, I have some actual stuff to say.
Okay.
About Raw and stuff, but like, it honestly takes a back seat, like.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's start with the dumpster fire then.
All right.
You want to just go timeline?
Yeah. Go in order.
So first things first, is the Hulk Hogan going on Good Morning America? I think it was Monday morning.
Yeah. That's the thing is like, this would have been the biggest PR situation that WWE had to deal with
on a normal week. Yeah.
And like, it's not like they had, like, I'm sure there was some thought of, like, at some point, Hogan's going to speak out or give an interview, and they're going to pretty much ignore it.
Because he's,
like,
got to do something to start to repair.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to say he's kept out of the spotlight for a few weeks, although this weekend he was also on TMZ.
Yeah.
Or he was, you know, somebody from TMZ came up to him. He was like, you know, oh, I, you know. I forget exactly what he said, but basically it was like, you know, didn't mean to offend anybody, and I would be Donald Trump's running mate. I'm like, really? Like, why do you want to couple that together? You want to, you know, just be the racist campaign?
I mean, honestly, my thing is like, you know what I hope comes out of this is he sees through on that lawsuit.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, that's where this all came from, so like.
Right. And again, neither one of us wants to side with Gawker on this.
Yeah.
You know, it is absolutely an invasion of privacy. And we're wanting to cheer for Hogan, but he's making it so difficult to do
that. Dang it, Hogan.
Right?
But that's the thing. It's like, you know what? That would have been.
But you can tell he was serious on Good Morning America because he was wearing his black bandana. His quote-unquote court bandana.
His serious bandana.
Yep.
So that's the thing. It's like, on a normal weekend, this would have been the big, like, news controversy for us to talk about. But WWE, I mean, they pretty much ignored it. Like, they would have.
Well, they did make a statement, but it was like a one line, like, we stand by our decisions or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and really all he did on Good Morning America was, like, he apologized to the fans. He hopes they could forgive him. He's mm-hmm. not that guy. It was something that he said that was stupid and he never should have said. And he hopes one day to be back on good terms with WWE or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And WWE was like, nah, bro.
Yeah,
nope.
Pretty much. So, that's fine.
Which I feel like is probably the correct way to handle that.
Yeah.
Like, not even like, we appreciate, you know, your words of apology, but no.
Yeah.
But they didn't even do that. They're just like, no.
Yeah, we'd stand right. I mean, so, you know.
Which is fine.
But that's what you're going to do. So they did very well. They patted themselves on the back. We have done good handling PR this week.
And then they fire, how do you say your name?
I don't know.
Zara Schreiber?
I believe it's pronounced Seth Rollins' girlfriend.
She, not it, you monster.
It as in her name.
Sure.
I believe her name.
Uh-huh.
The non-gendered name.
Fair enough. Okay, so this all kind of like came to a head over the weekend.
Yes.
I don't know if she posted something recently or it was found, something that she posted years ago. I think it might have been something she posted years ago, and basically was a Nazi-themed My Little Pony on her Instagram account.
Yeah.
And then someone took screenshots of a conversation that she had had with a Twitter follower,
so
basically sharing her feelings about black people, which
were not ideal.
Very far less than ideal.
I think so part of it is like having to dig through this story.
And I really didn't want to.
I didn't want to either. And like, because by the time I got to it, everything had been deleted and it was all.
Right.
But what I think is she posted a picture of something on her wall.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, hey, is that a swastika on your wall over there in the corner?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And so that happened, and it got taken down. But because of that, there was, let's dig a little into your past, and oh, this is a Nazi-themed My Little Pony.
There you go. I knew I'd seen that somewhere.
That's a couple of Nazi things, more than the average person would post.
I don't have any Nazi propaganda on my Instagram account.
Here's the thing.
And I'm German, okay?
Here's the thing. But
it's just not a natural thing.
By crazy coincidence, I'm currently reading this book called Fatherland. It's an alternate history book where it's a police officer solving a murder in 1964 Japan, or not Japan, Berlin. After Hitler's
big difference.
After Hitler's won World War II. So he's solving a murder in Nazi Germany in an alternate history kind of thing.
Okay.
But the cover is the eagle carrying the swastika with the big S's on it. And so I was like, that's the thing, is like, so when it first said it, I was like, my first thought was somebody could take a picture of my bedstand and I have this, there's a book on my bedstand with a swastika and anything.
And there's really no indication with the name Fatherland of anything other than...
Exactly. It's like, oh, this is
technically the motherland, but, you know, whatever.
Okay, it's the Fatherland.
Whatever.
Germany.
Whatever.
So it's that's the thing. So, yeah, like, so, you know, for an eighth of a second, I was like, let's see where this goes. This poor girl might need a benefit of the doubt.
And you're wearing a Valkyrie shirt right now. That's a...
I am wearing a Valkyrie shirt, but that was a stoutly anti-Hitler movie.
It was, okay, yeah, you're right, but it's still, that's just a weird coincidence that we're talking about this. So, basically, WWE released her.
Yes.
Because she is a Nazi, or she loves the Nazis, or... it's all. Either way, she's about some Nazis.
You know what? She's... And part of the thing is, like, yeah, she also made some comments about, like, why it was okay that she had a swastika
right
on her wall.
Yeah. And like, there's no good excuse other than I was in a production of Sound of Music.
Yeah, pretty much.
To ever own anything with a swastika.
Yeah, pretty much.
In 2015.
Or you have a book that's an alternate history.
Right, and I'm pretty sure you probably already also did a production of Sound of Music.
I have not, and I am terrified that someday I'm going to have some sort of, like... Because that's the thing. Oh,
get rid of all your props.
Incidentally, Heather was working on a play, on costumes for play, and there's a Klan member in the play. And there's just like this, how do you Google how to make a Klan costume without getting on lists?
Why do you need to Google that?
Well, you know,
it's
like,
pretty simple.
They're badges and crosses and stuff.
I guess.
I mean, I don't know that off the top of my head. Do you know that off the top of your head?
I just assumed it's the same way of here. You're a ghost for Halloween. You just put a cone on top of your head and then bam. I assume that's how you do it.
I mean, they got like, badges and designs.
Sure.
But no, that's... So yeah, that's the thing. It's like...
Right.
It's a touchy thing and... But then, that's
but then again, how do you explain that you're working on a Klansman costume?
Here's the thing. 28 seconds of digging, we're like, oh, here's this other Nazi thing and this other Nazi thing.
Right.
And this super anti-black person. They're like.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, it's no longer a coincidence.
Yes.
And so WWE released her for a good reason, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird that. Yeah, her boyfriend is the WWE champion.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder, like... I mean, granted, okay. Seth Rollins has already been through his controversy. Like, he had the briefcase, the Money in the Bank briefcase, back when the whole leaked photo thing came out.
Yeah.
Or not even leaked. His ex-fiance...
the whole...
decided to release...
Released photo yes. thing came out.
Which also featured photos of her.
Yeah.
Of the
girlfriend.
Yes. And he didn't really suffer any repercussions from that.
Yeah.
Because it really wasn't his fault. I don't know if Seth Rollins knew she was a monster, but it's kind of, again, it's like hard to explain. Like, it's a hard explanation for him to make.
Right. I mean, and here's the thing. You know what? Like, in all honesty, Seth Rollins doesn't owe me an explanation.
No.
Like, If we start getting, like, some, like, engagement photos of Seth Rollins and her and stuff, again, he doesn't, because of, like, we're an American, he can do what he wants right. reasons,
and clearly
he doesn't owe me an explanation.
Right, and it would be one thing if she was, like, hiding it and
yeah.
no one knew, but clearly, like you said, after 20 seconds of digging, she wasn't hiding it.
So, like, yeah, and Seth hasn't been anything, Seth hasn't said anything no. like, you know, respect the wrestler, not the person, or any sort of, like, awkward coming to her defense. It's okay that she's pro-Nazi because of
these reasons. Completely silent about it, which is probably the best thing for him to do.
Which, at that point, I'm like, you know what? Fine. You still do your job,
mm-hmm.
and I can be fine.
Right, with and there's no indication that he wouldn't do that.
Right.
And also, there's no indication that WWE's going to have any sort of punishment coming his way. Now, Night of Champions is coming up, and we did hear that he is defending both belts in separate
matches. Yeah.
So... We could
be fixing this little...
We could be saying this too soon.
You know what, like, and that's the thing, is, like, they have put a lot into Seth Rollins. Incidentally, so, an interesting point someone made was Meltzer was talking about when the Shield breaks up.
Yeah.
Back in the day, he was commenting on it. And commenting about how, like we all thought at the time, Seth Rollins was going to be the one lost in the shuffle.
I thought that, yeah. Because we knew that WWE was so clearly behind Roman, and we all knew yeah. what Dean could do.
WWE was big on Roman. We were all big on Dean.
Right.
To the point where we felt like we could push him at least Daniel Bryan style.
And we figured, you know, Seth would be all right as well.
Exactly. Seth would be fine.
But he wasn't. But if somebody like, he was didn't to really get lost. Have a whole lot of mic work at that point.
So what he said, kind of as a joke, was, you know, he's like, I think that, you know, Seth is pretty safe at, like, that John Morrison level.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, Seth, be careful who you choose for a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a little silly joke, and now it's like, oh.
Yeah. Hit that one right on the head, yeah. You're right. So we'll see.
Yeah.
As that unfolds. Could be nothing. I hope it's nothing, because, you know, we all love Seth.
Yeah.
And we want to believe in good things about Seth.
Yes.
So, here's to hoping Seth doesn't love Nazis.
So, WWE is dealing with not only one of their signed talent being, you know, problematic, but the girlfriend of their face of their company champion
mm-hmm.
problems. And in the midst of that, somebody brings a gun to the WWE Performance Center.
It has a shootout with the police in their parking lot.
Shoots somebody.
And he, too, was also injured in the
yes.
whole thing. Turns out now, more details are coming out about it. First of all, this wasn't the first time he visited, unsolicited visit the Performance Center. He apparently showed up days before with, I think, milk and his own feces. And, like, was putting it all on the wall or whatever. And that's what originally got him the restraining order
yeah.
against, and it had to be taken away. He actually had to be, like, at gunpoint,
removed
from the premises, and then showed up again with the gun because he was obsessed with Lita.
So, for the first time in 10 weeks, Lita's not there.
Right. That's probably why you showed up in the first place, because she was still there at that point, probably.
Yeah.
And then now she's not, which is probably a great thing for her.
Yes.
This was his one chance where he knew where she would be.
So, WWE, you know, makes a brief statement saying, yes, this happened.
He has no affiliation with WWE.
It's in the hands of the police.
It just happened to happen at our facility.
Yeah.
Even though we had already, you know, had this
mm-hmm.
order against them.
And, like, direct all your questions to the police.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, as good as you can expect as far as PR.
And then, I don't know if this is the motherlode, but it can't mean good things.
This is the definition of kicking them while they're down.
Yes. So, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. He his girlfriend died in 1983.
Yes.
He was the only suspect in the subsequent trial. That trial never came really to an end. It just, everyone just kind of left.
Yeah.
Away. He was never convicted or found innocent. And I think in 1985, he did lose a wrongful death case where he was supposed to have paid $500,000 to the girlfriend's family. Never mm-hmm. happened. Never paid. Claimed he was broke. It happens for wrestlers, whatever.
Yeah.
Cut to, I think it was 2013, 2014. This happened up in Pennsylvania. A local newspaper did their own investigation.
Right.
Found some new evidence. Turned it over to the county district attorney, and he decided that they were going to reopen the case.
Mm-hmm.
They have enough evidence now. They filed charges this morning. Again, or earlier this afternoon, against Jimmy Superfly Snuka for third-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter. It was originally worded as if, you know, he was arrested.
Yeah.
Turns out he showed up for the arraignment, went home, came back, and turned himself in. The guy is 72. I think he just knew he wasn't going to put up a fight.
Right.
No word on when the trial is or whatever. He was posted. I think it was a $100,000 bail.
Yeah.
I think it was $100,000. I don't know. And see, the thing about this that sucks a lot, it's going to suck a lot for WWE, is all these theories and rumors that have been going on for 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
30 years, people saying that the WWE and Vince McMahon helped cover up evidence. And this new evidence that was found in this investigation doesn't help that. The investigation, or the new evidence that was found, was a somehow unseen autopsy report that originally listed this as a homicide.
Okay.
And apparently, it was never seen in the original trial, for whatever reason. I don't know if it was dismissed, or just ignored, or buried, I don't know.
Yeah.
The fact that they found it 30 years later does not bode well for the conspiracy theories.
Right.
So I don't know. And honestly, I don't want to sound too crass or anything like that. I don't know if Jimmy Snuka's even going to make it to trial.
Yeah. Because
it was announced earlier this month that he had cancer. And he's 72 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen him at his various appearances over time. Like, his health is definitely not there.
Right. Honestly, the biggest question in how it affects us, really,
mm-hmm.
is if he is found guilty,
mm-hmm.
Is he getting pretty much expunged from everything?
Right. And see, that was the thing, like,
Here's the thing.
Of course, the easy thing is for everyone to say, like, well, how come WWE didn't automatically scrub their entire website of Jimmy Snuka? Is because still has to stand trial.
Yeah.
He hasn't been found guilty yet. And I promise you, as soon as he's found guilty, scrubbed. And taken out, like, absolutely taken out of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, you know, we talk about...
And it's one of those things, like, some people felt like they kind of jumped the gun with Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did it at the exact perfect time. They did it just enough to get ahead of it.
They did it once they knew what.
Right.
I mean, Hogan was guilty of what was being accused of him.
Right.
And obviously that's not as bad as
no
what's being accused of.
Yes. If it turns out to be true and he's found guilty, he gets the Crispin Wall treatment.
Yeah.
Sad to say, no more talk of that Madison Square Garden leap off the cage, none of that.
But, like, you know, we have a prime example of what WWE does when one of the wrestlers murders people.
Well, what WWE does when one of the wrestlers murders people when they find out in 2015.
Yes.
1983, that's a whole other thing, that's a whole other theory, rumors, we don't know what's true and what isn't.
Don't know, but, like...
At worst, if they find out to be true, Vince McMahon could face, what, perjury?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm no big city lawyer. So I don't know.
But that's the thing. It's just like...
Triple H taking over the company might come sooner than we think.
Well, just... Can you imagine, like... WWE has popped up in mainstream news 3 to 4 times in the past 2 days for zero good things.
And numerous times in the last 2 months. Half of it not terrible. Some of it terrible. Some of it not bad.
I'm telling you, John Cena needs to start granting wishes, like, triple time.
And yeah, that was the thing. Like, they were riding high with a lot of that stuff. Like, the pretty much SummerSlam weekend helped, you know, take some of the focus off the whole Hogan thing.
Yeah.
And then this comes in, and we're like, don't expect Night of Champions to bail you out this time. I mean, sure, Sting is back and the Dudley Boys are back, but don't expect it.
I mean, well, that's the thing is, like, you know what? This is all bad. Sucks for everybody. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really affect my viewing habits of the company.
Yeah, because again, like, this is something that happened literally 5 years before I was born.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I mean, if...
4 years, I don't know.
If we have a situation where, like, it comes to light that this conspiracy theory was 100% true, and
right.
Here's the people complacent, and they're still in charge of this company, we have to readdress how we feel about the company.
And again, like, whole, you know, innocent until proven guilty thing. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm against WWE now. You know?
I mean, that's the thing is, like, and so, yeah, it kind of sucks, but whatever for me. But for the average person out there, mm-hmm. I mean, 2 days, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, it's like 30, in a 32-hour period, mm-hmm. any, like, all that, like, it's not the Attitude Era. We're super clean, family-friendly entertainment now. Nope, sorry.
Yeah.
Boy. What a time. Like, that's just no good for them. So
it really isn't. And it's been a whole thing. I do want to bring this up. I was originally going to say this for the mail sack, but let's go and throw that in here. We don't need the theme music for this. And it was just a question that Evil Jackalopes sent to us from Twitter. How far back should retroactive comments be held against people by WWE, or while under contract? A la Hogan, Seth's girlfriend. And it brings up an interesting question, because it's saying, you know, how far back do you go to punish people? You know, because, like, those Instagram posts were from a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
It honestly, even with Hogan, it was done like 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
It depends on the severity, honestly.
It depends on a lot of things. Part of it is, like, Hogan said bad things years ago,
mm-hmm.
and suffered no punishment for it.
Mm-hmm.
So his punishment is now. It happens that, you know, his punishment is happening in a much more no-tolerant PC world than it was when he said those things. So, like, if that had leaked the day after he had said it...
It probably still wouldn't have been great, but then but he wasn't under contract with WWE.
Exactly.
That's a big difference.
It is.
But that probably would have made WWE a little bit more hesitant to do business with him again.
Yeah.
Although the fact that he had a sex tape didn't stop them.
Yeah. It honestly it's a personal thing, and it's a person to person thing.
You're right. It's one of those just case by case kind of things. Like, you don't want to, like, completely, like, draw a straight line and be like, you know, if you said something offensive within the last 10 years, we can't do business with you.
Yeah.
You know, because in that case, you know, Warrior wouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame. And even then, that was surprisingly soon that he was, you know, put in the...
Well, I think it was I was talking to you and Blair and Keenan, and I said at one point, I was like, you know, if we had to dictate on people who were nice and thought the same way I thought you know, morally, as far as that's how I decided which wrestlers I would like.
We wouldn't have much of a Hall of Fame.
Kane. End of list.
Yeah.
Kane sounds nice. Brock Lesnar just wants to get paid and go fish. So, like...
Farming. He's not a monster.
So, like, that's kind of it.
Right. Like, he's a he's a badass in the ring. He's a farmer outside of the ring. Like,
yeah.
That's literally it. So, and you know, like, not everyone's going to be angels
and
in their life.
And yeah, and part of it is just, it's the flow of the news story. Ultimate Warrior's, you know,
homophobic.
Yeah, there's pro-homophobic, I guess. Yeah. His homophobic speech that got recorded happened, but it didn't really catch the news cycle.
Right. There wasn't as much of a uproar that was picked up by the internet, and it was cycled and retweeted and sent out to everybody.
So it's
like the Bill DeMott situation is a good example here.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it was something that people had kind of talked about before, but no one really did much about it. Nobody thought much about it. And then like an email from years ago was put online. It was a guy basically calling out all the stuff that DeMott had done.
Yeah.
And it just, this whole giant wave built up against DeMont where the WWE, their hand was forced.
Well, like, even think of something like Cena on Howard Stern several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He had some story. He talked about basically having sex with six women at once.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not a hard interview to find kind of thing. And obviously, like, that's what it is. But Cena is now the child-friendly, family fun face of WWE that all the kids cheer for. And if you just never knew that interview happened, the WWE wouldn't hate that.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of
thing. It's not something that's brought up a whole lot. So
exactly.
WWE doesn't really have to worry about it right now.
Exactly.
Really, like, they don't have to worry about stuff until the internet catches hold to it and just, you know, starts a whole fire with it.
And, like, in all honesty, if the Hogan thing had leaked and people would have been like, yeah, he said it a while ago, whatever, then I don't think WWE would have been the one being like, no, this is a moral outrage and we will lead the fight by scrubbing him. He got scrubbed because WWE was worried what we would think.
Mm-hmm. And that's I'm sure part of the reason why they got so far ahead of it, because I would not be surprised if they were, you know, they cited the Bill DeMott thing as a prime example of why it's good to get ahead of these sort of things.
Yeah. And if, you know, 10 years down the line, for some reason,
mm-hmm.
you know, public moral suddenly decides that having sex with six women at once is the worst thing that you can do.
I mean, we do live in the Bible Belt.
I mean, except that, you know, it will pain them to get rid of Cena, but they will do it because business.
In the name of PC and having a good public image.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird because he's their forefront for that public image thing.
Yeah. I mean, so that's just kind of the thing. And like, you know, it's kind of a sliding scale personally, too.
Yeah.
And part of it, in all honesty, part of it is personal knowledge and attachment and enjoyment to people. Hogan said some bad things about black people, and this NXT diva said some bad things about black people.
Yeah.
And one of them, I'm like, yeah, I have no fond memories of you doing anything ever. You're right. A 100% of my knowledge of her is her being a terrible person and making things harder for Seth Rollins.
And, like, that one shot of her and Seth Rollins watching NXT Brooklyn.
Yeah, but they did that pan, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's the reason that the camera thing happened.
Right. Like, oh, right, she's the reason why Seth Rollins isn't engaged anymore.
Yeah. Fair enough. It's – I have – she's 100% of what I know about her does not show her in a positive light.
Yeah.
Lots of what I know about Hogan shows him in a positive light. Yeah, this is really bad, and it's not, like, a checks and balances thing.
But he's got, like, this this library of all these good memories that you have
built. Right, right. And that's the kind of thing. It's like, not to excuse it and not to be like, yeah, but
right.
He slammed Andre in front of 300 million
right.
Hulkamaniacs, so he can say the N-word.
No.
Like, I mean, so it's not a, you know, balance or out thing, but it does...
It does make it a little bit more shocking and hard to accept.
Like,
the fact that he would say these things.
It has an effect, and I can see why people can talk themselves into forgiving him
mm-hmm.
faster, or at all, where, you know, whereas...
Zara Shriver, you can't...
Whatever, I don't feel that my life is any
right.
less complete
because,
with her not being...
Right, because everything you know of her is that she is the type of individual that you would not want anything to do with.
Right. So, I mean, so personally, again, there's not an exact thing of, you said a level 3 racial slur 7 years ago,
yeah.
So we have to wait, you know, there's no good formula for how long something is held against you.
Yeah.
But I do think it plays into it of, how much good stuff have you done, and, you know, and who did you say it to?
Yeah.
And it just, it's a case-by-case basis. I don't think Hogan gets to come back yet.
No. I'm still saying 10 years, if he's still around.
All right.
We
shall see.
We will see, yeah. And with the whole Snuka thing, again... More on that later, I guess, because I'm assuming this
yeah,
is an ongoing thing.
I'm sure it will be.
And honestly, like...
Do you think Tamina is at risk at all?
No. I don't think so. Mm-mm.
You don't think so?
No. Just one of those things where they just call her Tamina and they just don't even acknowledge who her dad is. Change her finishing move, finally, thank God, because she's awful at it. For all the crap I give her, she throws a pretty mean super kick. Make that your finisher.
Well, here's the thing. It's not like Tamina is carrying the Divas division.
No. It wouldn't be a huge loss, honestly.
And here's the thing. I don't think they would be like, Tamina has been released because of her dad did the thing, you know? But Tamina gets used a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some other diva runs out to help Sasha Banks. And then Team Bad just has, you know, another person, and it's not really explained, and Tamina's fighting on Superstars, and Creative can have nothing for you real quick.
Well, yeah, I mean, and Creative really didn't have nothing for her before she teamed up with Naomi.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of forgot she was on the roster before
so it'd be really,
she got teamed up with Naomi.
It'd be really easy to do something
mm-hmm.
like that and not have anybody call, you did this because of her dad.
And who... has been suspiciously absent from this whole Divas Revolution thing. Natalya. There you go. There's her in.
Yeah.
And you can get away from the whole, like, you know, we're putting teams together based on race.
Yeah.
Because except for Team Bella.
That's awkward, you guys.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, throw a Canadian on the team bed.
Speaking of, let's actually get into Raw for a second.
Okay. Well, first, I just throw this out. I'm actually... glad that Snuka got these charges against them. Because I've been saying this for a while. Because I've looked into this case, like, years ago. And it always weirded me the hell out that he was never charged or no finality happened because of that.
Yeah.
So, I'm also intrigued by the whole Robert Durst thing. So, that's not much of a leap for me. It's just, he's WWE's Robert Durst. But, yes, go on.
So, we're talking about Divas Revolution.
Yes.
What
what better way to give Divas more of an opportunity on Raw than to put them in a spot that that encourages shorter matches?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Which, really, because who did Charlotte beat? She beat...
One of the Bellas, Brie.
Yeah, and Brie wasn't paying attention, and that doesn't necessarily help build everyone as a contender. It builds Brie as someone who doesn't pay attention to her own dumb match. Yeah. No.
No.
I mean, it's a... I mean, how else are you going to figure out exactly who the number one contender is?
Triple threat match?
Best of each team?
I mean, whatever you want to do. Like, I mean, PCB won the right to have a... that it was going to be one of them because they won the SummerSlam match. So,
right.
That's how their team got to be.
Which I appreciate that actual logical reason.
That's great.
Yeah.
And so if they had a triple threat match, that's totally fine.
True.
Or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, that's the thing is, like... So, I kind of pinpointed what really bothered me about the Divas Revolution as an entire thing.
Other than the fact they were trying to shove Divas Revolution down your throat and not let it happen organically.
Well, that's the thing, is like, that's happening.
And making it seem like they came up with it.
But at the very beginning, when Stephanie comes out and says, you know, the Divas Revolution starts now, and it'll start with these, you know, three women being pulled up kind of thing. I was very excited at the time.
Yeah.
Because of the people that were pulled up. That's very exciting.
Because it brought, like, legitimacy behind what they were trying to do.
But go back and watch that segment. Because it is not a wrestling segment. It is not a segment in a wrestling show. It is a press conference announcement for your stockholders.
That ended with three people having submission moves on other people.
Well, the thing is...
But beyond that, yeah.
No, it's genuinely... It is Stephanie McMahon, the actual, you know, person in charge who is invested in having stockholders happy, coming out on television and saying, fans want this, we are giving them this, here is exactly what we're giving them as a demonstration. Like, that's...
Right.
That's what you do when you announce... When, like, Apple announces... a new iPhone.
Right.
And here it is.
WWE does whenever they're announcing the new schedule for the WWE Network in the fall.
Yeah, and like that's just I don't know that and that and so that feeling has permeated over the entire Divas Revolution is this.
And like I pointed out, you know, when that segment happened, yes, we were all excited and everything, but I pointed out, go back and listen to what theme music was playing at the very end of all that, and it was the Total Divas theme song.
Yeah.
It's still the frame for it, because they want people to tune into that. Like, and that's why they bring up, it's like, oh, the cast of Total Divas, and I'm like, you're talking about, like, Charlotte and Becky and Sasha. I'm like, none of those females are on Total Divas.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what they're focused on.
And so... I don't know. It's I'm still very happy that they're at least pretending, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's a very sad state of I'll take what I can get at this point.
Now, I do want to ask you one question. The fact that Bella, Nikki's has a countdown.
Yeah.
As a heel move, do you think that's an indication that someone's going to be here before? Because isn't Night of Champions after?
I think Night of Champions is after the countdown ends.
Or is it just going to be a tool to use for her to further rub that into everyone's face?
I assume that's what it was. It ends on a Monday, doesn't it?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember exactly, but I did assume that she would have a heelish, you know, I'm the winner, I'm the best celebration.
Right.
At some point.
Yeah. Basically the second half of CM Punk's title reign.
It'll be really nice that they'll be able to, like, explicitly tell me if she's held the record or not by Night of Champions, so I know what my Night of Champions prediction will be based on whether or not she has the record.
We could fix that by pulling it up on the internet, but who's got time for that?
Exactly.
I do have a I don't know if this is breaking news or if we have a special song for breaking news, but I've got breaking news. Apparently, Amanda from Tough Enough was backstage at Raw this week.
Uh-huh.
And traveled with the Total Divas crew.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
According to a couple sources, there are sources that I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
So I don't know how trustworthy or reliable that is. But that's why I didn't, like, you know, post any articles or anything about it, because I just wasn't sure how reliable it would be. So I decided to say it on the podcast instead, because who cares? It's kind of surprising. Like, it's not surprising that they are interested or have signed a man and just haven't mentioned it yet. I was just thinking it would take a little bit longer.
Well, I kind of feel like...
Or at least
like,
it would wait a little bit longer.
I kind of feel like we're at the point where they're very close to being like, yeah, Eva Marie didn't work.
No.
Like, we tried.
Mm-hmm.
And it just...
Did you hear the rumor that she's supposed to be the first heel to face Bayley for the...
Oh, really?
The NXT Women's Championship.
Oh.
They said that, like, around the same time as Brooklyn. I have a feeling that's probably changed.
Somebody's gonna get killed. Alright, I think the other thing to really talk about is the Seth Rollins has two matches for two different titles.
Yes.
Which
you know, answers our question of what are they gonna have John Cena do at Night of Champions.
Exactly. I'm glad that they're not just merging more titles together.
Yeah.
But so here's my.
You know that one game. A lot of people are playing it. Right, I think it's a computer game. It's basically you're a tiny little dot, and you move them around, and there's like it's like a local server, and there's a whole bunch of other people playing tiny dots. Mm-hmm. And if you know you're a bigger dot, you can eat the tiny dots and make you bigger and whatever.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what. Well, I was afraid of the WWE Championship was going to be.
Well, so.
So yeah, I'm with you. I'm glad that they're not simply just merging everything when the one guy.
So it feels kind of like Seth Rollins has to lose at least one title, but if not both, and it feels like I don't think I'm reaching too far to say like it looks like they could very much be stripping him of both titles
because of
no, so he can face Triple H because you know they seem to be.
Head in that direction.
Headed in a... I mean, and...
Because it was very odd that Sting's, like, his apparent motive is to prove that he's... That Seth isn't half the man that Triple H is. I'm like, that's an odd thing. Like, it would make more sense for you to say, if you call yourself a legend, you're not half the man I am, and I'm a legend. You know?
Yeah.
That would make more sense. But Sting went out of his way to say... To draw these Triple H comparisons.
I gotta say, like, an inordinate amount of... Sting's time in the WWE is showing how cool of a dude Triple H is.
Yeah.
Like, this whole promo this week, basically his entire match, it felt like he was brought in to, you know, for Triple H to definitely single-handedly win those Monday Night Wars that we've been all been fighting 14 years ago.
He seems really cool with a guy that beat him by hitting him in the head with a you know,
yeah, a sledgehammer. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, granted, they did shake hands afterwards, but I'm just assuming that was because of you know short-term memory loss because he was hit in the head with a sledgehammer.
But here, okay, so here's the thing, though. Let's say that the plan is for Seth to lose both titles.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that Seth is going up. Against Sting,
mm-hmm.
having already lost to John Cena. So if
there's no way in the world they're going to... You don't think they would put John Cena and Seth Rollins above Seth Rollins and
Sting? I hope not. That is... Oh.
Because Triple H and Sting was kind of in the middle of the card on WrestleMania, but it was WrestleMania.
That was WrestleMania, and that wasn't for any title.
And he was also on the same show as Brock.
It's the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
Like... come on. That's that. If that happens, that will beat Cena and John Laurinaitis main eventing for most egregious.
No, I don't agree with you. John Cena main eventing against John Laurinaitis is still the worst thing ever.
It is. No. If John Cena for the U.S. title goes on after Sting for the WWE title.
No, I still gotta say John Cena and John Laurinaitis for no title beating out CM Punk and Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship.
I don't know, I
it's still there's still a title. Like that makes it that by definition would just edge it out.
See,
a little bit. I'm not saying it's great. I'm not advocating.
No, I know. I think the parallel is worse. I think that makes it worse. Just to so clearly be like, because here's the thing. At least with the John Laurinaitis thing, I can pretend that there's this misguided belief, like, oh, that story was so important that it made events. But like with this one, it's like, no, it's the same story, lesser belt, but John Cena.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm not gonna buy it. I'm sorry. Typically, you're really good at talking me into things. I can't. Not this time. I'm sorry, buddy.
It would be the worst booking to have Cena go on after Sting.
Well, let's put this to a public vote. All right.
Okay.
If you think that Cena versus Seth Rollins main eventing Night of Champions over Seth versus Sting is worse than Cena and Laurinaitis main eventing over CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, tell us via Twitter at CR Attire. If you want to use a hashtag, say hashtag Team Joel.
I mean, what we're really saying...
And vice versa, if you think John Laurinaitis and Cena is worse than Seth Rollins,
yeah, hashtag
Team Chris.
Team Chris thinks that John Cena should main event Night of Champions.
No.
That's what I'm getting out of this conversation.
No. The argument we're having. Don't you dare twist this against
me. That's what I'm hearing is...
No, what you're actually hearing is the argument of which is worse. I'm telling you, John Cena versus John Laurinaitis at No Limit in Raleigh, North Carolina was worse than...
Was that John? I thought that was the Big Show one.
Was No... I don't remember. Because I think the very next one was... I can't remember. Either way, it was over CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. Because it was...
It was over CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
I don't know if it was CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and Kane or whatever. But...
I will.
Yeah. Because Big Show was fired, and Big Show was the end of that match.
Yeah. I will. Here's the thing. I will agree with you that match quality wise, that will always be a more egregious thing.
Well, yeah.
Because.
So your argument is just saying, like, in WWE's mind, they believe that story trumped everything else.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know what? Sometimes
that doesn't excuse it.
Here's
but
the thing.
That's what they're thinking. Yeah.
Sometimes a Vince McMahon match main events a pay-per-view. Wrestling quality-wise, that should never happen.
True.
But sometimes the most exciting thing...
But at least there's interest in a Vince McMahon
match. The thing is, like, sometimes the most exciting thing that's going to happen on the show is somebody getting to beat up their boss. And so that's why a Vince McMahon match should go on. And I can see somebody being like, the John Cena versus John Laurinaitis, that's just like a Vince McMahon match. People will love watching this.
That person is
and they're
wrong. Yes.
And they're wrong and they're sad.
That person needs to get out more.
But I can see the thought process to leading to that. I can see it and I can sit here and be like, no, don't do that. You're going the wrong direction into the dark and scary woods where there's no return. But I can see how they get there. I cannot see how you can sit here and look at Cena versus Seth and Sting versus Seth and say, that one is the main event.
You know what their thinking is? It's John Cena!
I can't accept it. That is the worst outcome. Anyway. Because that won't happen, because it's preposterous.
It is.
But the thing is, at that point you're having a beaten and battered Seth having to defend against Sting.
Right.
So Seth isn't going to look great by losing two matches. Sting isn't going to look great by beating up
a half beaten down already.
Exactly. So the only person that comes out of this looking good is Cena.
Unless Seth brings back the authority members to get him out of the Cena match.
Maybe. I mean, and maybe.
Where he's still mostly fresh for Sting.
I mean, the
But I don't even think, you know, fresh
here's
Seth
the thing.
Rollins.
The best, outcome is Seth beating Cena and then losing to Sting.
Right.
Because, I mean, that way Seth isn't beaten down twice in one night.
Mm-hmm.
That way Sting gets the victory so he doesn't lose to somebody
half
who's...
beaten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it, I guess.
Right.
So, I welcome your thoughts and comments.
I mean, I agree with you. Like, I don't want to say they booked themselves into a corner, but they kind of have. Like, it's not exactly... Like, unless they come up with a booking process that works out.
I mean, here's the thing. I have...
I mean, you end the show with Sheamus cashing in. Bam.
Don't do that.
You know it's on the table.
And here's the thing is like...
I don't like it either, but that would be a way to get out of that with...
Here's the thing. There's a very good chance that Sting is going to lose his WrestleMania match. Are you ever going to let Sting win a WWE match?
If I was booking, I would have had him win at WrestleMania.
Well, I know he should have won at WrestleMania, but like... That egregious error is on the books now. Like,
I know.
We have to deal with it.
I know. I don't know. Because, like, again, like, it would have been... honestly, it doesn't matter. Sting is Sting. He's gone. His legacy is secure no matter what.
Yes, it is.
But it just doesn't look great for him to take pride in beating a half-beaten Seth Rollins.
Exactly.
Or vice versa, if the tables are turned and for some reason John Cena goes on after. John Cena doesn't look great beating a half-beaten Seth Rollins either.
Yeah. God, that would be so dumb. That would be the dumbest thing. That would make Night of Champions more dumb than regular Night of Champions.
Yeah. Like, that would be almost as bad as injury. Well, no. Yeah, no, it would not quite be, but it would be almost as bad as John Cena... One-armed John Cena beating Damian Sandow.
Yeah, that was bad.
It really was.
That was bad. Okay, one last question.
Okay.
Unrelated, but this was brought to my attention over...
Is this like an evaluation review or something?
No. Okay. You're okay.
All right, thanks, boss.
It was brought to my attention over over the NXT show this past week.
Okay, the stuff that they taped before.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So some people had some, you know the Cesaro section?
Yes.
It's basically being created by people printing off hundreds of...
Thousands,
pieces, yeah,
even, yeah.
Of pieces of paper that say Cesaro section, and passing them out in that area, so
right.
One area flips up a big...
Mm-hmm.
Thing where there are hundreds of 8.5x11 papers
mm-hmm.
saying Cesaro section. So at NXT there was a Bayley section,
and there was an Enzo section as well.
Yeah. Basically the same concept but with somebody else.
Right.
Do you think that is a bad idea
for people to do that and bring it
for not Cesaro? Because here is...
I mean,
Well, here's the thing, is I'm worried, and I don't think I'm unjustifiably worried in WWE looking at this and being like, Cesaro's not over, the wrestler section is over.
Kind of like the same thing of, like, Dana Bryan isn't over, people just like chanting yes.
Exactly, like, I think there's,
yeah.
like, perfect precedent for that.
Because, you know, they're chanting yes at segments that have nothing to do with Dana Bryan, they're still chanting yes. Or the New Day sucks chant is going out for, you know, Cena sucks, or however, whichever way they want to spin it.
Yeah.
It could turn into that, because, like you said, WWE would look at it and be like, yeah, he's not over, people holding up cards is over.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing is where...
Crap, now I'm worried about it.
I enjoy the Cesaro section thing a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that there is, because of how it is... I guess developed. It's very easy
mm-hmm.
for WWE to be like, that's really just one crazy fanatic, and other people who are just holding up signs because it's fun to hold up free signs.
And it's still, like, very firmly a Cesaro thing.
That's the thing. It's like, yeah, I'm not too worried about it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't keep me up at night. But, like, if we could have, you know, special, like, I'm doing this because I appreciate this wrestler things. And part of it is like, you know what? I don't totally have, like, you did the Cesaro section for Enzo when you should have been doing this and this for Enzo.
Right.
And this is the appropriate way to cheer for Bayley.
Right.
And again, you know what? We are dipping our toes dangerously into telling people the right and wrong way to cheer for people. And, like, I don't want to do that. You cheer for who you like, and you do it in the way that's best. But am I, you know, grasping at the air for being like, oh, about that?
I mean, when you worded, like, your premise was, it sounds like a legitimate thing to worry about, which is probably how Fox News operates. I don't like that.
I'm sorry, but, like...
But you're not wrong.
Here's the thing, is, like, Fandango got huge cheers the night after WrestleMania, and WWE went, listen to those cheers!
Let's all go
for that song!
Right.
And, like, yeah, I mean... And then that's the thing, that killed Fandango. And
yeah.
Johnny Curtis is a good wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
He might be a stellar wrestler. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have never been given the opportunity to really know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and part of it is just like, I want Cesaro to succeed so bad. Yeah. I want Cesaro to be champion so bad.
Yep.
That every time, like...
He's currently the guy that I'm throwing all my support behind right now, yeah.
And that's the thing is like, every time it, like...
Actually, I really do like the new shirt that they made for him. I kind of want it.
Yeah, it's a good shirt. No.
Professional, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing is, like, there have been things like the whole, the King of Swing thing.
Yeah.
Which, while impressive, like, as soon as they're like, we have a nickname for this now, I was like, oh, that's going to overshadow actual wrestling talent.
But it doesn't help. It doesn't, you know, help that Paul Heyman came up with it.
Uh-huh, I know.
I mean, but then again, Paul Heyman also did the, you know, this match is too big for WrestleMania, and they just ran with it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Someone comes up with a good idea, and then the commentators and everyone else just kind of run it to the ground.
A good line in a promo does not always make a good tagline.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. His entire...
Austin 316, Suplex City is amazing. Right. Like, I'm sorry, Suplex City is one of the best off-the-cuff things said in the past 10 years.
Fair enough, yeah.
But, yeah, that was like, not always. So right.
It doesn't always work, yeah.
Some stuff is better in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Too big for WrestleMania and King of Swing, I think, are both those things. Yeah, I don't really have much of a point beyond that, but just like...
But it was an observation.
It occurred to me, and it made me go, just because I want Cesaro to succeed so badly.
Yeah. So. I'm with you on it.
All right. Do you have anything else?
No. What's making you happy this week, Joel?
You go first.
All right. Well, wrestling related, I saw... I love KFAB News. I saw an article, I think they posted either today or yesterday, where they said the NXT crowd chants, this is awesome, at empty ring. And I was like, oh, that's incredible. I love it. Non-wrestling, I'm kind of super stoked. I know how much that doesn't make any sense, but yes, I'm kind of super stoked about the finale for Mr. Robot this week. It was supposed to be last week, but with the shooting that happened last week, they postponed it because they said that they had some violence in their episode, and they would have aired that same day, and they felt like it was inappropriate for that. So they put it off for a week, which is fine. But man, I enjoy that show. It is far better than anything that should be on USA. it really reminds me of either an HBO show or something that should be on Netflix.
Yeah.
Honestly. But it maybe that was originally what their plan was, because they bleep out a lot of F words. not like excessive use of it, but they're still in there.
But it's not that uncommon.
No. It's a really interesting little show. It's got a nice little twist that got, you know, played those couple episodes ago, or last episode. I don't know. Either way, really good show. I highly recommend it. If you haven't watched it, find it somewhere and binge watch that. I think it's like 13 episodes, maybe.
Maybe, maybe I don't 10. Know. I don't I haven't know. Gotten around to.
Not that. Not too much, though. So yeah, that's making me happy. A TV right. show. That right. and my computer's working now. I had a friend work on it, so yay.
Okay.
What's making you happy?
So there was a work outing at Heather's work.
I was about to say you didn't work out.
An outing for work.
Okay, there we go.
And so this is wrestling related.
Okay.
Somebody was commenting on I think we've mentioned she's a teacher on this podcast.
Maybe.
I don't know. She's a teacher, by the way.
What? And, huge revelation. This changes everything.
Which is why it was reasonable for part of the discussion to be, like, teaching license and how you get them in various states and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so one person was comparing two states. I think they were comparing, like, Arkansas and North Carolina. And said, you know, it's not hard to get something transferred like that because, you know, those two states, they're like broskies. And so I was sitting there and I was like,
that's not a term that most people use.
Yeah, well, like, how does he know that term? Because that's the thing, is like, you know, I've been thinking about like it's similar to like jabroni, when jabroni kind of entered
the lexicon.
Yeah, where like
now it's like a lot of people use it, and even though a lot of people don't, some people may not even like recognize where it's from, it's still in that our societal lexicon. Yeah.
Yeah, and so like, and so I was talking to him and I was like, is broski at that level,
right,
or is it not? And so like, the thing is like, it's kind of a choose your own adventure, but the thing that's making me happy is like, broski's made it into the journal lexicon. Or there's a dude that likes wrestling.
Right.
Either way, it makes me happy.
That's pretty awesome. Anything not really?
I'm all good.
Fair enough. I do want to recommend something. It was an article that was posted on Inside Pulse. Just go to insidepulse.com in the wrestling section and look for it. It's an article titled OMG, Am I a Wrestling Fan? A Woman's Journey Through the WWE NXT Universe Over SummerSlam 2015 Weekend. Written by a female whose boyfriend is very much a big WWE fan, and she just kind of tolerated it,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. But this was like her first event where she really delved into it, and it's a really good article.
Yeah,
it's one of the best wrestling related articles I've ever read.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it. Again, go to insidepulse.com, click on the wrestling tab, and just look through it through there. Or if you want a link, just tweet us, and we'll gladly send you a link.
All right.
So yeah. If you really want to put that
definitely
out.
Check that out. Yep. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRATAR. We live tweet Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Yes, and if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
Don't forget, we are on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast if you haven't done that already. You can subscribe there. You can give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review if you haven't done that yet. It really just kind of helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you are listening to us on the wrestling section at insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Don't forget, we're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow us. Easy way to follow Chris and myself. Just kind of see what else is going on in our world.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah. #TeamChris.